The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, and over the next 2 hours, we want to remind you to connect with us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. Much of our show tonight, it's going to focus on the NFL and college football, but the start of the NBA season, hey, it is just around the corner. I mean, so many of us, we've been watching Team USA, their quest for the championship, but it's almost time to lace it up, and so we wanted to get an early primer on training camp, and that's why we have invited back to our show our leadoff guest, Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. How are you, Steve?
I am well. How are you?
Fantastic. Well, here we are in the month of September, and as we reflect on just the movement that took place over this past summer, I think the biggest storyline that comes to the forefront of my mind certainly is the Cleveland Cavaliers, their ever-impressive return of LeBron. I just got to ask you, it was 4 years ago that he was in Cleveland. How has he changed and evolved as a player and as a person?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think he's grown up. I don't think that back in 2010 when he made the decision to leave Cleveland that he really understood what Cleveland meant to him as a person. Certainly being a kid that grew up in Ohio, being from Akron, you know, having family and friends there and spending all of his off seasons there. You know, I think the quest to get a championship, I think he thought that was going to be more fulfilling, but I think he learned, like, you know, a lot of free agents learn, and you know, a lot of these big name guys who change teams is, you know, you get viewed as a mercenary sometimes, and you don't get, you know, adored quite the way that you do when you win as somebody the team drafted or as a hometown kid. And I think he saw how Miami responded to Dwayne Wade winning a championship, and they never really embraced LeBron the same way they did Dwayne. And I think that was one of the reasons why he went back to Cleveland. I think there's more of a personal connection to that city and that marketplace than he had in Miami. And I think at the same time, he's at the point in his life where his children growing up and having his children in a certain environment really weighed heavily in his decision. I don't think this was as much a basketball decision as it was in 2010. I think this was more of a lifestyle, personal decision for LeBron.
Steve Kyler is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is with Basketball Insiders. We want to encourage you to go online and check out his work. And just talking about LeBron, I mean, this incredible commitment to improving every facet of his game. When you evaluate him as a player, can you pinpoint one particular aspect where he has grown the most?
Well, I think he's a little more patient. You know, a lot of times we see these phenom scorers that come in and they try to force the issue on everything. I think if he understands as a player what he does and does incredibly well, you don't see him doing a lot of the things that I would say are the out of character things. You know, the one thing, the big characteristic of a young player is they're going to force a lot of action that maybe isn't in their game. LeBron has become a much better defender. You know, he was a good defender coming into the league. I think he's become an elite defender, and we've seen this before. You know, Michael Jordan, when he came into the NBA, was an electric scorer, not the best defender in the world. But as his career evolved, he became an all-world elite-level defender, and I think LeBron's there as well. You know, free-throw shooting and three-point shooting, those are still things that LeBron works on and is very diligent at. But I think he's a more complete player. I think he's a more balanced player, a more mature player. I think he's comfortable being LeBron, and that in and of itself is an amazing task because, you know, no matter what that guy does, he's going to have his critics, and I think he manages all of that really well. And you can see it on the floor. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low.
You know, you talk about and highlight defensively how he's grown and also just becoming this complete player, but what about on the interior and his ability to bang on the inside?
Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of size and physicality. You know, he just overwhelms physically a lot of the guys that match up against him. And you talk to guys, you have to defend him. And You know, he's got the size of a power forward, but the quickness of a point guard. And so whoever you're going to put on and there's a mismatch, you put a big guy, he'll blow right by him. You put a little guy and he can just power over him. And then his touch in and around the basket, you know, for a couple of years, he's worked with Hakeem Olajuwon in the offseason, developing that low post game, understanding how to play in the paint. You know, and those are just, you know, the part of growing as a player. You know, he's looking for, you know, easy buckets, higher percentage buckets, and certainly those buckets in the paint, while more physical and harder to get, they are higher percentage basketball, and that just means, you know, more points, easier points to get, and also the chance to create some contact and get the other team into foul trouble.
We are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I tell you what, training camp, it is just around the corner. We're having an NBA conversation with Steve Kuyler from Basketball Insiders, and I have just got so much curiosity about the Cavs' new head coach in David Platt and his system. How big of a risk is this, bringing in a coach that we really don't know that much about?
Well, I would say we know a lot about him. I mean, there are some coaches, when you look at Quinn Snyder in Utah and some of the guys that have gotten jobs, you know, when you look at Brett Brown last year, I don't think we knew what those guys were going to be. With David Blatt, you get as much experience as you could probably get, not, you know, outside of the NBA. This guy's won at every level. You know, I make the comparison. He's the Greg Popovich of international basketball. Everywhere this guy's gone, he's won. He's won at national team levels. He's won, you know, at every level of the Israeli league. He's coached big-time players. And talking to a lot of the players, especially players that are in the NBA or have been in the NBA that played for him, you know, they speak the world of him. You know, he is a very player-focused coach. His system and his process, you know, really mirrors a lot of what the NBA does. I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for sure. You know, 82 games, the travel, the pressure, the expectation. You know, he's going to have a spotlight on him every second of the day because he's got LeBron and Kevin Love now, and, you know, the expectation to win a championship. You know, his game and, you know, his coaching philosophy is going to be questioned after every loss, and there will be some losses. You know, anytime that it doesn't go exactly the right way, the blame's going to go on him. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. But if there's a guy out there that wasn't in the NBA that is maybe pressure tested enough, it's probably David Blatt. You know, he's one of the best that wasn't in the NBA. And, you know, now he's got an opportunity with all the tools in front of him to really be successful. You know, he should win despite himself, you know, and because of him, he may be very good.
You know, doing my research, David Blatt spent 33 years in Europe, but he has zero NBA experience as a player, a head coach, or an assistant. But as you were saying, he was a star in Europe. And so just curiosity in terms of, like, offensively, you know, what he's going to bring to the table, because Cleveland was not an efficient offensive team a year ago. I mean, they were, what, 22nd in the league?
Well, some of that comes down to young guys. You're going to get more offensive efficiency just by nature of having LeBron and Kevin Love. You know, both of those guys are going to demand huge amounts of attention, which means guys like Kyrie Irving, guys like Deion Waiters that were shooting 40% from the field are probably going to shoot 45, 50% from the field because they're going to get more space and more looks. So I think some of that's going to come. You know, this is a motion-oriented offense. You're going to see a lot of ball movement. You're going to see, you know, a lot of action away from the ball, and those are things that are designed to kind of create space and suck the defense away from players. I don't think you'll see a lot of drop-it-in isolation basketball. You know, that was something Eric Spoelstra had to struggle with in Miami, was really creating enough motion and enough action to get all of his guys the number of looks they needed. You know, David Blatt's system should do that right out of the gate. And, you know, keep in mind, while David doesn't have a lot of NBA experience, you know, his staff does. You know, he's got some guys that have not only played in the NBA and Tyronn Lue, but, you know, he's got a lot of guys that have been around the league and been part of some very successful staff. So, you know, he'll lean on his assistants, but I think that what he'll bring to the table is a very proven demeanor and process, and I think that players really do click and relate to him. And like I said, when you talk to players that have played for him, they love him.
Okay, the NBA conversation will continue in just a moment with Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders. Right now, join us online at Twitter at @eRadioSports, and we will be right back. Our NBA conversation continues at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, going one-on-one with Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders. And so we talk about David Platt with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who has he assembled in terms of with his staff? Because I understand what Larry Drew has come on board.
Yeah, Larry Drew is one of those, and certainly, as I mentioned, Ty Lue, you know, both of those guys have coached. You know, Ty Lue played in the NBA for a number of years. Larry Drew's head coach was most recently the head coach in Milwaukee last year, was the head coach in Atlanta. So you're talking about in Larry Drew, a guy that certainly can, you know, has a very credible resume, not only as a lead assistant, because he was a lead assistant for a very long time before landing his own job, but, you know, this is guys that know how the process is supposed to go. And I think that's huge. You know, you can't trade what's called institutional knowledge. Those are guys that certainly have been around. And, you know, Jim Boylan, who's also on the staff, he too is a longtime veteran. James Posey, who's a former player. There's a lot of guys on that staff that have spent a lot of time in the league, where you talk about the number of years that David Blatt was abroad. These guys have just as much experience in the NBA, playing in the NBA in a lot of different ways.
Okay, so what is this team capable of? I mean, they have got a ton of scorers. When you talk about Love, Irving, and even Sean Marion, he'll be able to do some nice things offensively. We know him as a defensive player, but he can put up some numbers.
Yeah, this is a team that doesn't lack guys who can put it in the bucket. You know, you didn't mention Mike Miller. You know, there's guys like James Jones, Deion Waiters. You know, they've got a lot to work with. But again, I think the big thing is to kind of temper expectations. You know, we did this a couple of years ago when the Lakers were able to get Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, and it was going to be a team that was going to win 82 games, and it didn't happen because of injuries. You know, when the big three came together in Miami, it was kind of the same hype as this team's going to run the table in the Eastern Conference, and they struggled to find their way early on. And that's going to be the big thing, is kind of balancing the get-to-know-you process. You know, there's going to be some processes that have to be developed and are going to be worked out over the first 20, 30 games of the season. And it's not going to surprise me to see Cleveland not win the Eastern Conference just because of that learning curve. I don't think that means they're not going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're going to lose some games this season that you're going to scratch your head and say, hey, something didn't go right, because they have to get to know each other and they've got to develop those bonds and that chemistry. And as much as you want to assemble teams on paper, or the game isn't played on paper, it's the, you know, trusting the guy next to you and understanding the guy next to you. And there's some teams in the East that are much closer to that in terms of continuity and bringing back the same systems and processes, that as good as Cleveland ultimately may end up being, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for them.
Well, Steve, you're exactly right, because chemistry is never guaranteed. But obviously, with the time that we spent in Dallas, very familiar with Sean Marion, how do you see him fitting in with the Cavs right away? Obviously, he's been a part of the Maverick system for so many years. I mean, he was their best defender. Could he be that key piece to bring the Cavaliers a championship?
You know, I think he's going to be a piece, but, you know, when you really start to look at where the lion's share of minutes are going to go, you know, certainly you're going to see, you know, Kyrie Irving playing the bulk of the minutes at point guard, where it is Deion Waiters is going to be the two guard. You've got, you know, LeBron James, who will likely be the three guard, Kevin, who's going to be the four, and then Anderson Varejao at the five. That means bench minutes for almost everybody else. And when you think about where Sean Marion fits in, where Tristan Thompson fits in, you know, you just start to run down the roster, and there's just going to be only so many minutes. But, you know, I think with Sean, you get a veteran who can come in and really defend and really create havoc, and he's a decent three-point shooter. There's a lot that Sean still brings to the table. You know, I don't know that he's going to play a ton of minutes with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but, you know, we've seen this before. When you play with LeBron, if you play well, you'll get an opportunity. And the thing with Sean is, not so much about what he'll give you in the regular season, it's what he's able to do in the postseason. And I think that's where he'll show his biggest value, is his ability to come in, especially as they start to go deeper. You start thinking about a Chicago matchup in the playoffs or a Brooklyn matchup in the playoffs. You know, that's where Sean's going to be really interesting for them, and that he can come in and give them, you know, 15, 20 minutes of solid play.
Could this be a breakout season for Kyrie Irving? I mean, just huge, the type of experience that he's getting with Team USA.
You know, I think so, but I think, you know, he's broken out a while ago. You know, Kyrie's had some injury problems. I think that's one part. You know, the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, haven't been a winning team with him has maybe, you know, knocked some shine off of his star. But, you know, you look at him statistically, and, you know, there's a rarefied club that point guards can get into, and it's mostly point guards who find their way there, and that's players who can score more than, you know, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the foul line. And Kyrie's that kind of player. You know, he really is capable of getting to those kind of numbers, and it won't surprise me this year to see him at those kind of numbers, because the pressure's going to come off a little bit. But I think, you know, Kyrie has proven that he's an elite level player. I just think that this year you're probably going to see Kyrie Irving being an all-star, because everybody's going to be watching Cleveland this year.
What kind of numbers do you think Kevin Love will post this year?
you know, I think we've seen this, that, you know, when you get three or four guys that together, everybody's numbers come down. I think what you'll see is, you know, probably 18 points, 10 rebounds, 12 off from Kevin's numbers.
Uh-huh.
But those are good numbers. You know, that's a good solid double-double. I think the real question is what's he going to shoot from three? You know, is he going to be 40-42% from three and just making teams pay? He's certainly capable of that. I think the two questions for Kevin is, you know, how much better can he get defensively? And I think he can, as he doesn't have to do as much work offensively. And the other part is staying healthy. He's had some injury problems as of late. So he's got something to play for on a lot of different fronts, certainly a championship, a big contract this summer, and he's got to prove some of his critics wrong, and I think he'll get that opportunity in Cleveland.
Okay, well, we have focused on Cleveland. What about Chicago? A very nice addition with Pau Gasol.
Not only Pau Gasol, I mean, they've been great. They brought over the kid they drafted just a couple of years ago, Nico Mertok, and he's an exceptional player. You know, the rich got richer in the front court with the Chicago Bulls. But,
yeah.
You know, the best part for Chicago is, you know, they add Pau Gasol, they add Nico, they get a great draft pick in Doug McDermott. And, oh, by the way, they're getting Derrick Rose back. And, you know, that's going to be the biggest part is, you know, having your MVP, your offensive catalyst back, that's going to be huge. And then their young guys are making progressions, too. Tony Snell was amazing in summer league. Jimmy Butler's been working, you know, extremely hard. He's kind of in a contract situation where he's trying to get an extension. So you're going to see guys coming into camp really motivated and competing. And I think that's the good thing. I think you see with Derrick Rose at Team USA, he hasn't been as sharp as maybe you want him to be, but you're seeing that he's not lacking physically. You know, he can get where he wants to go on the floor. He's still that breakneck pace player. And the fact that you've got a system that's coming back and everybody buys in and they know what their window is, you know, that's the good thing. It's going to be harder, there's no question, but Chicago's a very, very good team.
Steve Kyler has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check out his work online. Basketball Insider's got some great stuff on there. And Steve, it will be very interesting to see, with all the change that has taken place over the league, how long it will take for so many of these teams to gel and to become cohesive units. We appreciate you dropping by. Thank you, Steve.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR. Stay close. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Wherever you may be on this Friday night, we are so glad you've made it a point to join us as we continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And I am so ready for week two of the college football season. And our next guest, of course, is one of the great talents and personalities in our business, former NFL and college great Brian Jones of CBS Sports and our favorite Longhorn. How are you, Brian?
Big E, I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, it's nice and hot down here in Houston. And so week one of the college football season certainly featured, I would say, some compelling matchups. But we wanted to get your forecast on week two. That's why we've invited you to be with us tonight. Unfortunately, though, your Longhorns were dealt a severe blow with the loss of their quarterback. So what is your expectations now of the Longhorns after losing not only their quarterback, but their center in Dominic Espinosa?
Yeah, he lost the center, I pointed to that as being the bigger loss than the quarterback. You know, they've been without Ash for a while. They've become accustomed to that with all the injuries he sustained during his career. But losing your center and now losing a couple more offensive linemen because of some suspensions, it's going to be even more dire for that offensive line. I think they go down about 5 career starts. So they're facing adversity early in the season. On top of that, you're taking on a team that embarrassed you a season ago in BYU. Anytime you take on those grown men, it's going to be difficult. Now even more so with the losses on the offensive line, and you've got an unproven quarterback there as well. But they're going to have to just grow up real quick. You know, I love the way the defense was flying around a week ago versus North Texas. Yeah, you can point to the fact that it was North Texas, wasn't stellar competition, but that energy and the fervor and in which they played with is what I wanted to see. So if they can bring that, exact some revenge from the defensive side on Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and BYU, there still may be a good chance of them winning the ball game, and which I had them winning prior to these latest dismissals. So it's going to be interesting to watch, but I think with this different attitude that this team has undertaken, well, they'll show up and they'll put forth a good effort.
College football analyst with CBS Sports, Brian Jones, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I know that you were giving high praise for the Texas defensively, but how functional is Texas offensively without Ash?
I think the Swoops kid, he came in with a lot of hype, and he's a big kid, 6'4", about 235, 240, has some athleticism, more athleticism than Ash did. Does he have the grasp of the offense? No, but he's going to have to grow up fast. He's going to be thrown in the fire. He took most of the reps during the spring when Ash was out, took a lot of reps during the fall practice leading up to the season. So now it's time to put that to test. And he doesn't have to do it all by himself. Don't put a ton of pressure on yourself. Just go out there and play your game. Turn around, hand it off. Hopefully the offense can open some holes to allow the running game to take some pressure off the young man. But if you try to do too much, you're going to fail. So go out there, be loosey-goosey, and stay within the parameters of your game and the coaches. Sean Watson, offensive coordinator, he's got to identify what the young man does best and go to that all night long.
Always big expectations when you talk about Texas, but has Coach Strong, has he been handed a little bit of a built-in excuse and a free pass now to be able to buy some time with now so many players out?
Well, he is going to get some time. You know, this is going to be a 2-3-year project. I actually,
okay,
prior to all the dismissals, the previous dismissals, Big E, I had him winning 10 ball games. I still think this, with the attitude adjustment, which they've undergone, the transformation in that mindset there, they're a good football team. There's talent there. It just needed to be developed. They needed a shake-up. They've gotten that shake-up, and they've gotten a wake-up. So this is a good team. He wants to win now. Everybody there wants to win now. We don't want it to be a 3-4-year project. And I think they still will show well. There's a lot of pride on that football team. They've gone through a lot this offseason. I mean, these guys have gone through a transformation like it's no one's business. And so I think that can go a long ways in helping them win right now. They're facing some early tests. There's no doubt about that. Some other guys are going to have to step up. But that's why you go through all that training in the offseason. That's why you put your team in difficult situations. And now they've been dealing with dismissals, since Strong hit campus. So they're used to it. Now that the season's here, I understand you're missing some pieces you were counting on, but they have learned from the start how to deal with adversity by seeing some of their friends and teammates being kicked off this football team. So this is business as usual now. They've gotten a taste of it, more than a taste of it, so they should know how to proceed moving forward.
College football analyst from CBS Sports, Brian Jones, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter. We want to hear from you, at E Radio Sports. And so offensively, I mean, does it change much with Tyrone Swoops at quarterback?
Well, I think you're going to see a more fluid offense as far as rolling the young man out, getting him outside the pressure, and maybe even more quarterback runs. They wanted to minimize that, if not eliminate that type of package from David Ash, considering all the injuries he had been hampered by. But with this young guy, Swoops, coming in, very athletic, a big quarterback, I think you see more quarterback runs. I think he's going to have to do that, even if it's not a called play. He's going to have to buy some time with the inexperience on the offensive line. He may be under the rest a lot. So move him around in the pocket,
mm-hmm.
Get him comfortable early with some short throws, but don't limit him to that. Throw the ball down the field. Don't let BYU know that, hey, we don't have any confidence in this young man to stretch the field. You got to keep them on their toes as well, and you got talent at those other positions, at wide receiver, tight end. Utilize everyone, and that young man will get it in his head that, hey, I don't have to do this by myself. I've got enough talent here on this football team that we can do this together. So I expect to see a lot of movement, a lot of fluidity in the offense to make sure Swoops gets comfortable and you can utilize his athleticism.
Well, what I hear you saying, too, is that Tyrone just needs to come in. He just needs to come in and manage the game. He doesn't need to get all fancy.
Right. And I hate saying that, but when you're a young quarterback, and it's hard to say when you've seen these young quarterbacks, like a Kenny Hill at Texas A&M showed up and
mm-hmm.
showed out other young quarterbacks throughout this early college football season. But when you've got a Swoops coming in, learning a totally new system, Kenny Hill had been there under Sumlin. This is his second year with him. Swoops, his first off season with this new staff and Sean Watson and his offensive philosophy. So, he's going to have to come out and just take what they give him. But that being said, you still got to take some shots. You got to trust the young man to a certain extent and have him take some shots and keep the defense honest, or else they're going to pin their ears back and they're going to come after him. So, build some confidence early, manage the game. Don't try to do too much. It's okay to punt. Ain't nothing wrong with punting the football.
Right.
We'll take a punt. If that defense could continue to fly around like they did a week ago, even though this is going to be tougher competition, but they've got redemption on the mind considering what Taysom Hill and BYU did to them last year to the tune of 550 rushing yards, unheard of. So if they can continue to apply some pressure and be as aggressive as they were a week ago, it's okay to punt. So as long as they understand that, don't force the issue. You're going to get your chances. I think the defense can keep them in this ball game if they're not forced into a lot of sudden changes, which are turnovers.
Well, you've said it many times, Brian, that pride will be on the line. I know that you guys are still embarrassed about the results from last year against BYU. What do you see as the most immediate keys and the mindset going into that game on Saturday?
Well, you got to be careful with the revenge and the redemption. As someone who is failed when I had redemption and revenge on the mind and tried too hard. So you've got to temper that somewhat. That's real motivation, though. That's probably been their motivation all offseason long when they were going through those tough workouts, when they wanted to say, I can't do anymore, I want to tap out, or I need to tap out, I quit. Their motivation was the fact that they got embarrassed. Like no Texas defense has ever in the history of that university.
Right.
And so now you've got a chance to do something about it, but you got to understand that you can't go out there trying too hard. Stay within yourself and go and read your keys and play football. That's going to be the key. Don't try to do too much. Just go out there. Yeah, you're going to have an extra gear because you're fired up about what transpired a season ago, but do it all in moderation. As coaches always say, play fast, but don't be in a hurry.
We are quickly running out of time. Brian Jones is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And, of course, the marquee matchup this weekend, Michigan State at Oregon, a high-profile non-conference game. How do you see this one playing out?
I'm loving this matchup. In Oregon, they've adopted these blue-collar T-shirts that they've been wearing all off-season.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure they put some blue-collar work in as well. But you look at the record over the last 5 years versus teams similar to Michigan State. Power running football teams, big physical football teams, like an Auburn, like an LSU, like a Stanford, who they've played more than those others. I think Michigan State gets the win on the road. I like what they've got coming back on offense. Connor Cook, Jeremy Langford. That offense took off a season ago when those guys took over at quarterback and running back. You know, you got Lippitt, the big, tall wide receiver. He looks like Plexico Burress back during his Michigan State days. Defensively, yeah, they lost a lot of pieces. Still have Shalique Calhoun at one end. So I like Sparty getting a big win on the road.
Wow. Okay. Always strong and steady. That is Brian Jones from CBS Sports. Does an outstanding job. One of the great ones in the business. Thank you, Brian, so much for stopping by.
Big E, you got it. Anytime.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at Yahoo Sports Radio. You stay close. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, we want to hear from you online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And as always, joining us for our weekly Under the Helmet segment, that is the one and only, the great Jason Peter. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you, E?
Doing fantastic. We are rolling right along. And how about your Huskers? They certainly beat a team they were supposed to last weekend. What was your critique of that opening game performance?
Well, it's funny because people of the great state of Nebraska now think that we are destined for the college football playoff.
Love it.
Not only that, but we're going to win it all.
Okay.
After an impressive victory over the Florida Fashion Institute of Technology or something like that. No, it was Florida Atlantic. But, yeah, I mean, look, you got to, I guess, compare it to previous years and previous season openers under Bo Pelini. And this was certainly the best that, you know, in terms of openers, you know, I think they had close to or over 700 yards of total offense. They executed fairly well. You know, defense played well. There were a few kind of discipline issues, I think, in the beginning of the game with penalties that just kept, you know, stalling drives. But, you know, against a team like Florida Atlantic, you're able to overcome those sorts of things. When you play somebody of quality, you know, dumb mistakes or holding penalties where you're away from the play, you know, that stuff just won't cut it. You know, you can't keep stubbing your toe against good opponents and expect to be able to overcome it. So, you know, all in all, I think it was step in the right direction. You know, if people are a little nervous because the preseason All-American Randy Gregory, he went out early in the game with a knee, and I guess something maybe that's been bothering him throughout camp. You know, my, I guess, sources have said, and this has kind of been all along throughout since last season ended, was that, you know, maybe Randy's head wasn't on straight, maybe enjoying, you know, all the accolades a little bit too much, spending too many nights out on the town, going on too many dates, what have you, stuff like that. You know, and if you want to be a, you know, an All-American at season's end, and you want to be one of these guys talking about as a first-round draft pick, you got to be dialed in. You know, and unfortunately, it's too late now to just get dialed in terms of, you know, reaching your full potential, because that that takes, you know, dedication during the off season and lifting weights, you know, until they're shutting off the lights on you. I mean, running stadium stairs and until, you know, the stadium crew is ready to leave. I mean, that's the type of dedication that you need. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Husker great Jason Peter is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, with our weekly Under the Helmet segment, zeroing in on his Huskers. And I understand, talking about Randy Gregory, that injury that had flared up on him. I guess the real question is, when we look at the schedule, do you think he'll be available for that September 13th game against Fresno State?
I think so. You know, I imagine that he'll probably get a few reps against McNeese State. I don't know what their, I guess, game plan is with playing him. Certainly, I hope that they don't need him to beat McNeese State. But, yeah, Fresno, you know, you'd like to have him back, because nothing can quiet a crowd or, you know, stall an offense like a kid that can get after the quarterback.
Nebraska, with their record-setting numbers, certainly set the pace from week one. Just overall, what was your assessment defensively? What did you see defensively? What did you like?
I think they have some athletes out on the field. I think, you know, comparing to previous years under Pelini, I think that he's got a crew of kids out there that can make plays. It's just a matter of, do they know where they need to be and know where they need to go on every single play? Because there can't be any lapses out there. You know, you don't get, you know, plays off and expect to be competing for championships at the end of the year. You got to be dialed in every single play, and you know, that's the thing that you fight against when you have so much youth in the two deep depth chart.
Well, the Huskers certainly were impressive, 55-7 over Florida Atlantic. I think one of the big highlights was the Huskers wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp reaching behind his back to grab the pass from Tommy Armstrong Jr. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it was worthy of the Sports Center, I guess, top 10.
Yeah,
you know, this kid, he's the kid that caught the ball last year against Northwestern in the end zone. For that dramatic, you know, come from behind win, and you know, everything that we hear is that if he can touch it, he can catch it, and you know, that's kind of a motto that a lot of receivers, I think, try to live by. That if it's anywhere near him, that they feel like they should be able to catch the ball if they can get a hand on it, and you know, that type of stuff that happens from spending hours and hours doing, you know, above and beyond what the coaches ask you to do. And everything that I've been told about Jordan Westerkamp is, you know, he's one of those guys. He's the first one out and the last one to leave, and always working on his craft.
You know, it was interesting, Jason, just a moment ago, you were talking about all the preseason accolades for Randy Gregory, obviously injury that has flared up again in terms of with his knee. What about Amir Abdullah? I mean, he has set his standards very, very high. He's been incredibly focused. He's not letting any of these expectations get to him, is he?
It would be tough to find a better back than Amir Abdullah playing college football right now. You know, he's at the top. He's just as good as any other back that's out there. Sometimes I think people, they kind of label him maybe just a workhorse, or, you know, a guy that that plays off of just heart, and those things are true, you know, without question. But he's also a very talented kid. You know, I mean, he can cut on a dime. You know, he's got a terrific jump cut. You know, he's got great vision. He's got hands out of the backfield. He really is a complete back. And then you combine that with, you know, the heart and wanting to outwork his opponent on every single play. And that's not just on game day, that's during the week. You know, he's the heartbeat of this team. And I think, you know, as Amir goes, so does this team. And, you know, hopefully when you're looking at the play calling throughout the season, you know, Tim Beck has had tendencies sometimes to get away from what works, maybe to side with creativity in the play calling. And you'd hate to see them do that when you have somebody, you know, like Amir. I mean, it's take, for example, you know, the Wisconsin-LSU game. I mean, here you have Wisconsin that's just flat-out dominating LSU for three quarters. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, arguably one of the best backs in college football in Melvin Gordon. And I think he touches the ball two, three times in the second half. You know, just do what's working. I don't understand why some of these offense coordinators, they get away from that so often. And, you know, it's college football, even at any level. I don't care if it's the NFL or in high school. If you have something that's working, keep running it until they know how to stop it. I mean, it's
right.
It's pretty simple. It's elementary type stuff. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully Tim Beck kind of stays the course.
Okay, give us a quick hit on the Pac-12 Big Ten, the big matchup with Michigan State and Oregon, or my final question.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think a lot of people are siding right now with Oregon. I'm not so sure. You know, I know Michigan State, they lose a few pieces off of that defense, but, you know, they're in a position now, especially when talking about that defense, where they just kind of reload. You know, one's gone, next one's up, and there's no drop-off, and that's the expectation, and that's the standard. You know, and I just think with Michigan State, it's always been, well, what can the offense follow suit? And Connor Cook, I think, you know, when you go back to the last four games of last year and last week, I think, you know, he's continuing to grow, and that could be a dangerous thing. I don't know if it's enough to beat Oregon on the road. They still got playmakers out there, but I think it's going to be a four-quarter game.
Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
All right, guys, so check this out. Have you ever heard of Gold Belly? Okay, so it's this amazing site where you can order the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the country, and they will ship it straight to your door. That's right, these guys will ship you Philly cheesesteaks from Jim's or Pat's in Philly, Buffalo wings from the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, and even Kansas City's most legendary barbecue. So if you're looking to host an epic Super Bowl party, go to GoldBelly.com and get free shipping and 20% off your first order with promo code GAMEDAY.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.